A warm welcome to you all again, dear congregation, on this Lord's Day. In Jeremiah 10, the prophet asks, "Who would not fear thee, O King of the nations? For unto thee does it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee." In that conviction, may we also be together this morning hour. Let us begin our worship service with prayer and receiving of God's blessing. Our help, Lord, is in thy name. It is in thee who has made the heavens and the earth. In thee who keepeth truth forever. And who never forsaketh any of the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Shall we sing together about gratitude and confidence? Psalter 298. My steadfast heart, O God, will sound thy praise abroad with tuneful string. And what follows in 298? 1, 2, and 3. This morning let us read the law of the Lord from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and be reminded again of also how the Lord introduces this chapter, reminding us of his covenant. And Moses called all Israel, and he said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For ye were afraid by reason of fire and went not up into the mount. And then follows the law of God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. And therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And then what does God require exactly in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and in all authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let's now sing 435, verse 9. Great. Now turn to the scriptures in Ezekiel 37, Let's see the word of the Lord this morning from verse 1 through 14. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, and shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in unto them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So far, then, the scripture reading of this chapter of Ezekiel this morning. Let us now humble ourselves in God's presence and seek for his blessing. O eternal and almighty God, we have every reason to humble ourselves before thee. And enable us to do so, Lord, this morning, as we reflect upon thy goodness, thy astounding faithfulness, and admirable patience. For what is man and what are we, that thou art mindful of us, Lord, and dost continue to provide for us, protect us on unsafe ways, bring us here together again in thy house of prayer and worship, living in a land of liberty and plenty. O Lord, we are so highly privileged, and that is to humble us, for that is only speaking of thy greatness. No wonder that so many of the poets exhorted us to sing unto thee a new song again today, and to extol thy name. O Lord, enable us to join them indeed, and to be here with thanks offerings in our heart, and upon our lips, in our song and in our prayers. And Lord, that as we gather here today, open thou our eyes that so many people that we work with are not in church today, that we live next to for 10, 20, 50, or maybe all our life, are not in church today. You don't know anything about thee and about themselves. And, oh God, there may be some among us who say, well, that's what I want too. I'd rather be there than here. And Lord, that is the truth. But we may lay that also before thee. Thou knowest that there is no heart ever willing to truly worship thee, truly serve thee. We do not have hearts that will value thee above the finest of gold and the greatest of earthly pleasures. And yet, Lord, there is a people in this world who do, whom thou hast called and drawn from the darkness and the deadness, that will praise thy name. And may that number increase today. O thou gather, O God, what is dry and dead. O thou teach us and lead us in the true worship of thee. May we learn to know thee, as here the prophet said, in thy name, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people. And Lord God, may it please thee also to perform that miracle of thy saving resurrection of sinners in our midst. We implore thee, O Lord, to bless the preaching of the word, that it may be faithfully done in this country, from the pulpits that are today occupied with men to preach, that we may be as obedient as Ezekiel was, and that we may, Lord, also as preachers, lay the staff of the word even on the very dead. For so hast thou promised to gather by the foolishness of preaching to dead bones the church thou hast chosen from all eternity. O God, we pray this morning to cleanse us from all our sin, and to renew a right spirit within us, and to lead each of us in the path of repentance, and that we may experience today, O God, what a discouraged Asaph experienced. It was good for me to draw nigh to God. And may it so please thee also, Lord, to encourage and to refresh and to strengthen our hearts in all the struggles of spiritual life, and that so we may experience to gather the power of the resurrection. Thou spoke last week, Lord, in our midst, I am the resurrection and the life. And we pray that that power of thy resurrection and life may be experienced in the heart of the dead, but also in the heart of the living. We feel discouraged, Lord, when we look at our nation, so worldly, our churches, so ineffective, so dry. And you lift up about our heart, can be so lifeless. with lots of knowledge but very little godliness. O Lord, Thou knowest the needs that we face and may feel burdened about also this morning. And we own that all those conditions that we see around us and within us, they are our own making. My Lord, with Thee there is help. With Thee there is hope. Or maybe there are such who say this morning also, and that our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off. There's nothing more to expect. Maybe such are gathered here today. And such maybe are struggling somewhere in this world today. And maybe, Lord, there are and undoubtedly many who are also in situations we cannot understand, who feel so hopeless. Come, we pray, O great Shepherd, that Thou would encourage them, that also we may receive encouragement of this vision that Thou gave to Ezekiel. May it minister to our hearts. May it encourage us. Let these truths multiply, Lord, also prayer for us and our children and our grandchildren, our neighbors, our world around us. And so we pray with Ezekiel that the Spirit may blow upon us, that the slain may live, that we may see life in our families, in our children, in our older ones. Lord, let that Holy Spirit blow upon us as preachers in church life, but also as parents in the home life, as teachers in school, as elders and deacons in teaching catechism, in us when we speak to others, that Thou places upon our path, Lord, let Thy Spirit accompany whatever words we may speak to others. Let it be blown upon our leaders, Lord, in our nation, in the judges in our courts, on the legislative bodies that are making laws. O God, let it be blowing upon our nation to turn this tide of liberalism, of anti-Christian spirit, anti-Semitism also. Oh, there is so much anger, so much division, so much vileness, Lord, in this nation, that we can only plead with Thee to send forth Thy light and Thy truth. Once more, turn us, O God, that we may be turned and may follow on hard to know the Lord and to walk in His ways. Is there anything impossible with Thee? No. No, there isn't, Lord. Thou hast conquered death. Thou hast overcome the powers of hell. And therefore there is hope with Thee for us and our families. And let that encourage us this morning. Let that fill our hearts, Lord, that we may go back into the battlefield of every day of our life, living with ourselves and living with our families and living with the situations in which we are in this world. For Thou knowest the adversary never rests, never takes a break, always is on his assault route. O God, please strengthen us today. Let this Sabbath be in Elim, in the midst of the wilderness of this world, and gather so with all Thy dear beloved children throughout this world, Lord. We are so thankful Thou hast Thy remnant left in this country, in another countries. Let the very precious multitude that Thou art gathering from all tribes and nations and races. We thank Thee for all the servants that may still preach the word within and outside our denomination, that are faithful in their charges, that are uplifting Thy word and Thy truth, Lord, without compromise. And we pray for a multiplying of the number of them And thou hast sent forth an army of men to preach the word, O God, and all the nations around us, and that pulpits may be restored and revived again, that they may be blessed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that Christ be preached and Christ be lived in and through the lives of thy church throughout this world. And Lord, we so lift up to thee the needs also of our church family. There's Mrs. Janet Dirksen and her needs. There are other elderly who are weakened in body and mind that may still be with us every Sunday and gather here, Lord, while others cannot. Be with those that are sick, those that are lonely, those who have grief, those who are burdened with mental issues in their bodies, in their minds. Bless all those, Lord, who receive counseling about abuse, about brokenness, in marriage life, in personal journeys. Lord, thou bless, O God, and uphold all those in mission work, evangelism, church planting, prison ministry, Bible translation, and all the missions, Lord, that are done to also alleviate the needs of people, and that that may be accompanied with the clear message of the Word. And so, Lord, we lay these matters before Thee. As we learned last week from Martha, that's all we need to do. Thou knows how and what are the details of what is necessary. And so, O gracious Lord, before we close our prayer, we desire to remind Thee of Thy own word. Thou hast said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver Thee, and Thou shalt glorify me. Lord, it's amazing that Thou art giving such a gracious promise to us. For the troubles are self-made, and yet in those needs we may still call. We have no doubt to doubt that thou wilt keep thy word, and may it indeed please thee so to answer us that we will praise thy name from youngest to oldest, from morning to night. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing 276, the church and her head. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. 276, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Collections for this day. Your gifts will be for the general fund and for the building funds. May the Lord bless us all in giving through our gifts. restored. This past Thursday was a presidential proclamation given for a prayer service, which we didn't have here. I'll tie it in this morning with the sermon. As there is great need for such prayer days and prayer times as we face facts that don't lie. As we saw last week, the facts don't lie. He's 4 days dead, Lazarus, and he stinks. That's a fact. That's what happens. This morning, God places us in Death Valley. In Ezekiel 37, the situation is far worse than Lazarus' condition. Death Valley. You saw Ezekiel was transported by the Lord into a valley full of bones. And as he walks around it and he observes it, he says, "Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry." This is not a cemetery, as most of us think. It's a battlefield in which the church is totally defeated. For you notice at the end, when they're resurrected, it's a great army again. It's an army that's defeated in this valley. It is obviously the picture of Israel, which was God's army, not just his people. They were the fighters for the truth. They were to fight the battle against the darkness, and they are defeated. The whole valley is a picture of the real situation of Israel. The Old Testament church, it is scattered, it's disconnected, and very dry. I'm sure as Ezekiel walks around in this valley, and if you and I would do that too, when we walk around in the United States, we see the same thing and we would feel discouraged, don't we? It's not going well within our nation. The facts are painful. The facts are discouraging. It's not only in hopeless condition that Ezekiel sees. There's something worse to what Ezekiel sees. What he sees there is a battlefield with very dry bones scattered. That's not just hopeless. That's the disgraced condition. Lazarus was nicely wrapped up in a grave. We do that as we honor our beloved dear ones who have departed. We give them an honorable burial. These weren't buried. These bodies were dismembered. Animals have dismembered these bodies and they have eaten up every piece of flesh around it. And they are laying as a dishonored and disgraced people throughout this valley. Nothing is more dishonorable than to remain unburied, to rot, and to finally bleach in the sun. And congregation, that's a picture of Israel at that point. The glory of God has departed out of this nation. Ezekiel sketches that early in his book, that he sees the glory of God goes from the Holy of Holies, and he goes into the court, into the thresholds, and then departs. And all we've left is a shell, and that is taken out by Babylon, and it's leveled to the ground. This is a real Ichabod, as you remember that statement of that wife of Phinehas. The glory of the Lord is departed. I am no prophet when I say that is the state of the United States, isn't it? Oh, no, not entirely. God has his remnant. There are yet thousands of people in this country. that serve the Lord and love the Lord. Outside of our denomination and inside our denomination is a remnant left according to God's election. There are still a multitude of people that sigh and that cry throughout this nation. Numbers getting perhaps smaller, but there will always be that 7,000 that will not bow their knees. But yet, by and large, I am not totally wrong to say that this picture of this valley of the dry bones really is a picture of our land. We're under heavy judgments. It seems Satan is triumphing. It seems that indeed everything is drying up. And that looks irreversible. And yet, congregation, this vision was not meant to discourage us. It was not meant to discourage Ezekiel. It's meant to encourage us this morning. And we need that too. We all need encouragement. Not only Ezekiel, but all who have a heart for God's glory need encouragement. The temple in Jerusalem is a pile of rubble. Ezekiel knows that. There's nothing left. It's not so bad that the building is broken down. The worst is that God is gone. He's left them. That's the burden. That is indeed what also we need to begin to fear in many places. This nation once was the temple of God. I mean, Israel. And we also were a nation, tremendously blessed. The valley that this nation was a Garden of Eden. Now it is dry bones, it's a valley of trouble. The temple of God congregation is not very clearly visible in our nation. Of course, there's churches everywhere, big, beautiful buildings. You drive through Wisconsin and you see all these glorious, beautiful church buildings. Some of them are empty. Some of them are full. But where is the power of godliness? Do not get mistaken. That can be just dry bones. There are some dry bones sitting in the pews here this morning. There's dry bones standing on pulpits here. Don't get deceived by looks. The power of godliness is lacking. From leaders to the smallest subject, we are in a valley of very dry and discouraging circumstances. Yes, we can build civilizations. Yes, we can be an economic powerhouse. Yes, we can be in the most prosperous time again since decades. But the rottenness of this nation is clearly seen. It's all about me and self and money and glory and power and honor. But we are Death Valley spiritually. So therefore we need encouragement. We as spiritual leaders, as parents, as members. For not only are the conditions in our land dry, I feel very dry. Don't you? Sometimes it is so dry in our spiritual life that all we do is talk and pray and read and sing, but not worship. There's a big difference between that. We can walk out of church and chatter. And laugh as if we came out of a place of fun. I have no problem that we talk behind these doors when we come out of church. No problem with that. But let's also talk about the serious matters we hear and multiply it. Yeah, we need encouragement. We have impurity in my motives. I'm not always standing here with a holy motive on this pulpit. You don't always sit here with a holy motive in church. We can be very self-centered, addicted to the things of this life, addicted to the pleasures, addicted to our goals, addicted to our work, addicted to ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. They're thinking if we come to church here on Sunday morning, that we've done our good work and that everything is going well. No. Dry, very dry bones. I look forward to a new time, not only for myself and for others and for the nation, for the church of God. So Ezekiel sees this very dry bone valley. God says to him, Son of man, can these bones live? And kind of like what Jesus asked Martha, your brother shall rise again. Yeah, Lord, I know. Last day. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Looking at our death valley personally in our nation, is it possible to live? Congregation, if God will now ask us this morning, do you think it's possible for this nation to be a Lord's Day keeping nation again? Today's fun day. Right? This is fun day, not Sunday. Think it's possible? That we all flock to church on Sunday as a whole nation? In order to worship the Lord? Not just moving into Saturday night so we can have our Sunday off? Or moving into Monday night so we go up north on Sunday? As so many of our churches do around here. This is a flesh religion. But really, you think it's possible? If God would ask us that, can these bones live? Can this nation become again a Lord's Day keeping nation? Spirit filled. God worshiping. Marriage and family oriented nation in which we live purely, honoring life. Can these bones live? You think it's possible that the world again would be afraid of the church? As Canaan was afraid of the church coming out of the wilderness. They shook in Jericho. Today we shake for the world. The world laughs at us, mocks us. Takes the name of Jesus and throws it in the mud. And we are cowards. We don't dare to say anything because we're afraid of the world. Can these bones live? You think that can be reversed? That the church would be indeed a power that will be feared and respected? Can these bones live? Ezekiel, do you think it's possible for these luxury boat churches to become fisherman fleets again? Because a lot of churches are luxury boats. Look beautiful, cozy, feel nice, beautiful time together. And in the week, we party. We're meant to be fishermen. Here we get fed to go out to seek for the lost. Who's the last lost one you try to reach? You think it's possible, Ezekiel, these churches can live again? These dead churches that has come together, cozy, living together, just as a nice little group of people for years and decades, but never reaching anybody else around them? Can these bones live again, Ezekiel? Can it be possible that these institutions of learning, from kindergarten to university level, become the nurseries of God's kingdom again? Where the Bible is in school, where prayers is in school, where teachers are teaching our children out of the godliness and the beauties of the Word of God? You think it's possible that universities become seminaries like Princeton and Harvard used to be? Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Is it possible for this nation to rise out of the ashes and again rise to the former glories in which God was honored? No, we must indeed not romanticize the past. It was far from godly in the early centuries of this country. But can it be possible, Ezekiel, that these bones live again? That our communities resemble the times when singing of God-honoring lyrics echoed through the streets. There were times in the Great Awakening, you would walk to Well Pond, if that's where it was, and you would hear the singing coming out of the houses. The people gathering. Is it possible? Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Can we have leaders again, congregation like Josiah and counselors like Daniel? Oh, that's the question in regards to the nation. Can these bones live? If you think about yourself, about your own personal heart, can your heart live again? Can it become a fountain of only good, a fountain of only holiness? A fountain of only purity and genuineness and sincerity of love, not piousness. Oh, God is sick of piousness. He loathes piousness. He looks for genuineness. True, broken heart that love Him, serve others, worship. That's totally different than being pious. That's being godly. Can it be that such a heart of ours can become like that? That our tongues will drip with true praises and honey as a fountain of life, and our heart be a fountain of holy desires? And when we look to our children, you think it's possible that these children can live? They're so excited about their clothing and about their games and about their pleasures and about their computers and all these other things. They complain and they are responsive and they're dull, and they have to come to church, and some kids hear say, "Ah, Pastor, you preach way too long." And so we can ask about you, can these children live? Can it be possible that children would love the Lord, that they can wait for Sunday again? Can they live? All these things are coming to my mind as Jeremiah, Ezekiel has asked this question. Ezekiel, can these bones live again? His answer is better than Martha's. Martha found it very hard to believe. She found it impossible to believe. Lord, he stinks. Ezekiel is wiser. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's a thoughtful and a faithful answer. He doesn't deny it's possible. He doesn't claim that it will happen. Thou knowest. So then what does God do to remedy this situation, congregation? The verse here that we are looking at this morning speaks about the resurrection of Death Valley. Two ways. Through preaching, through praying. The resurrection of Death Valley and everything that is in this nation that is in Death Valley only be resurrected through preaching and through praying. God gives Ezekiel and us preachers, and humanly speaking, useless and foolish task. He said unto him, Ezekiel, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Sounds ridiculous to do that. If you see me walking this afternoon in the cemetery, kids, and I'm standing between all these tombstones, And you hear me put my hands around my mouth and say, "Oh, ye bones, hear the word of the Lord." You might take me to the mental institution. Say, you don't belong here. Ezekiel has to do that. And not only on a cemetery, he has to do it on a place of battlefield with all dry bones. He's to preach to the dead. Every preacher has to do that. To preach to the dead as if they could hear. Hear, O ye bones. Oh no. Hear, O ye dry bones. Hear the word of Jehovah. That's what preachers have to do. That's what we need today. We need preachers. We need not entertainers. We don't need funny storytelling people on the pulpits. You need faithful preachers that don't dull the edge of the Word of God and just simply say to you, "Oh, you dead man, hear the word of the Lord." Some of you are dead here, unregenerate. Come to church to fill your Sunday chore or to soothe your conscience. I don't know why you do it, but keep doing it. But listen, I have to preach to you today. Hear the word of God, ye dead bones. Sounds ridiculous. Sounds foolish. Ezekiel, he suspends his reasoning and he obeys as he is commanded. Notice that? He doesn't say, "Oh Lord, that doesn't make no sense. These bones can't hear me. They're very dry. Why would I have to preach to them? I have to preach to the living, not to the dead." Yeah, there are preachers who say that today. They only preach to the living church, not to the dead sinners. Well, Ezekiel obviously is not one of those preachers. He has to preach to the dead. "Hear ye, O dry bones, the word of the Lord." They have to do the same thing that Jesus did when he stood before Lazarus' grave. And there's Lazarus inside the grave, and he says, as the grave is opened, "Lazarus, come forth." That's Jesus, you say. That's not Ezekiel that preaches. Notice what Ezekiel says. "Hear the word of the Lord." Ezekiel is only the mouth of God. And so it is God's mouth that speaks through Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is obedient as he prophesies in verse 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded." He did what God commanded him. If any doubts, he simply ignored him. He simply obeyed in faith. And he preached the word as God commanded him. And God always honors such direct obedience to the word. You know what Ezekiel did, children? He preached in Death Valley as if the dry bones could hear him. And then something happened. We read that in verse 7. "And behold, the shaking and the bones came together, bone to bone." The congregation, Paul calls preaching the foolishness of preaching. It's not only foolish in the message for proud and stubborn men, but the method is foolish. The foolishness of preaching. Some of you have difficulty with me commanding you to repent. You know, how can you command me to repent? Because I can do nothing except it's given from above. Right? But yet, God commands all men everywhere to repent. You are to repent. Any one of you. Whether you are alive or dead. Yeah, I have difficulty with that. How can you command somebody that is spiritually dead to believe? How can you ask me to believe when I cannot believe of my own? It's a gift of God. See, now you're reasoning, not obeying. And Jesus stands before the man with the withered hand. Withered hand means paralyzed. He says, stretch out your hand. He didn't say, well, Lord, I can't do that. That's unreasonable to ask for me. I have a paralyzed hand. I was born this way, maybe. Can't help that. No. You say, that's unreasonable. What's God saying here is unreasonable? It is for our human intellect. This doesn't work, Lord, to preach to the dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. That doesn't make any sense. How can we command a blind man to look unto the Lord and be saved? How can we command a dry bone to hear the word of the Lord? That's not the question. The question is just, prophesy. Do what I say. You notice that the task that Ezekiel gets comes with an encouraging promise. Already in verse 5 and 6, the Lord says, thus say the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I'll lay sinews upon you, bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As Ezekiel does his assigned task, God does his promised work. Verily, verily, Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. We need preachers to preach to the dead bones. We need men to stand anywhere on pulpits in this nation to preach to dead bones. Churches, and to set before them, thus saith the Lord, and to command them in the name and the authority of the living Savior and Redeemer. We need that. That alone will bring this nation out of the dryness and the scatteredness and the deadness. And it's not the voice of Ezekiel, my friend. It's not the voice of Paul. It's not the voice of Calvin. Not the voice of Luther or whatever favorite preachers you may have in your mind. It is the voice of God alone that can do this through these stumbling efforts of preachers on this earth. Because we are no good preachers. None of us is. And yet God is pleased to bring His blessing. It's the voice of Jesus. As I was reading and studying on this, I came across a quote of one of our forefathers. He says, if we want more revivals, we need revival in our reverence for the Word of God. To preach boldly and to preach literally. For if we desire more conversions, we must put more words of God in our sermons. Thus saith the Lord. Parents, that's also true for you. You are a preacher at home to your children. Grandparents, that's true for you. You are a preacher to your grandchildren. Oh, but they won't listen. Ezekiel might say to the Lord, but Lord, they won't hear. That's not the point. God commands us to say, thus saith the Lord, and to read and to confront them with the word of God whenever we can. Let that word of God be in our mouth, not your opinion, not your thoughts, not your ideas. The word, thus saith the Lord. This is what we need to have more of in our homes. To be confronted with the Scriptures and to use the Scriptures and to let it echo throughout our teachings here on pulpits and in our teachings at home. Now the fruit of Ezekiel's preaching, like I said, was amazing. The valley of death was filled with rattling bones coming together. As I prophesied, as I commanded, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath all of a sudden, children, he sees all these scattered bones falling, making into a skeleton. And then there's muscles and sinews and skin. And you see people laying there. The whole valley is full of people, but it's still Death Valley. There's all kinds of interesting interpretations on this chapter. Obviously, the first interpretation is that God was going to do this with Israel after the Babylonian captivity. And he did. He brought the Israelites back from all these nations and he placed them back in Israel. Jerusalem was rebuilt. The temple was rebuilt. That all changed again after the Roman destruction. And so some of our Puritan forefathers looked at this chapter and says there's something going to happen to Israel again. And you can read it in the 1600s. Read The Puritan Hope by Ian Murray. Beautiful book. What the Puritans felt about this chapter and other chapters. He says, a day coming, they write in the 1600s, that Israel will be a nation again. That happened in 1948. God brought the Jews, and he's still bringing thousands of Jews every year back to Israel. Thousands of them. What's happening? Bones are still being gathered. Flesh is there, but there's still no breath. There's still dead bodies. There's no nation more ungodly and secular than Israel is. It's not a religious nation, although it looks like it. When the Sabbath day is there, there's not a single car on the street. It looks like such a holy nation, but don't be deceived by it. It is a dead nation. And there are some pockets there, Messianic Jews. There is indeed the work of God, but overall the nation is gathered but dead. And so it is also here, congregation. We have churches. They look like they have flesh and sinews and skin. We're one of those. We look like we're organized. We got it all together. We have all the doctrines. We have the three forms of unity. We have the scriptural teaching. But are we alive? All of us? Let's think about that in our second thought after we sing together. 358. When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity. And what follows in 358, verses 1 through 4. reap. Prophesy, Ezekiel, preach it on. Preach the word, speak to the dead bones, and I will cause breath to enter. And congregation, so we need to teach. Please, parents, teach your young people. Fill their young minds with the knowledge of the truth. Make them memorize and recall and know the scriptures. Let that family worship only be more and more pursued in your homes. Teach them. Let them hear the word. Let them read the word. Help them to read. Stuff their minds with the knowledge of God's truth. But that's not enough. Historical knowledge can be a dead body. And we see that. Not only in Ezekiel's days. It is not saving what we know unless there's something else than only knowledge. We need a heart that beats and hungers after Jesus. Hearts that live in a living faith and obedience to Jesus. And so as Ezekiel sees these bodies that are laying there, but no breath, then God spoke to him again. And he said unto him, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and they that they may live. So I prophesied unto the wind at this moment, as he commanded me. And the breath came in unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. God's charge to Ezekiel to prophesy to the wind, mind you, is not replacing the charge to preach. It's an addition to preaching. As he preaches, he also needs to prophesy through to the breath of God. And interesting, the word breath in the Hebrew is ruah. It's the same word for the Holy Spirit. So this breath is a reference to the Spirit of God. And Ezekiel gets a charge to prophesy. Now that seems a strange word. We don't prophesy or preach to the Holy Spirit, do we? Indeed. It comes out as a prayer. Come, O Holy Spirit, and breathe upon these. No son of man commands God. But we may pray, and in obedience of that command to pray, Ezekiel prays, come, O wind, from the four winds, from the four corners of the earth, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. We are to follow up preaching with praying for the Spirit. We need to precede preaching with praying. Congregation, that's what your task is throughout the week from Monday to Saturday. Pray that the Spirit of God may move here, shake us, rattle us, take away the false comfort, make us wake up from our spiritual slumber. Cause the Word of God to be fruitful. Will you pray for that? Will you join me in that prayer? Without the Spirit of God, no matter, even if Jesus stands here, literally, without the Spirit of it, it would not be fruitful. It is the Spirit of Christ that needs to open the heart and make that word that the Lord Himself preached to be fruitful. So essential is that Spirit, that breath, that Holy Ghost. He is greatly dishonored in the days in which we live. Grieved, vexed, And without the Holy Spirit, even the most biblically sound church is a dead body congregation. We can have all the truth you can have. But if we have grieved the Spirit, and if the Spirit begins to fight against us, as it says in the book of Isaiah, I have turned to fight against you. Why? Because you don't honor me. You don't respect the word. You don't obey the word. You may know it. You may know it very well, but you're not obeying it. Then we grieve the Spirit of God who brings us this word. And how many churches are not like that? And let's only look at ourselves this morning. Without the Holy Spirit, we remain as Adam was when he was created out of the dust. There he stood, or laid rather. Beautiful body formed out of the dust by the Creator's hand. But dust, no breath, until God breatheth upon him a living spirit. And so we need to pray together. As an early church came together to pray. Come, friends, we need to pray together. Yes, at home. Yes, here. Together, that means together. They came together in one accord, the early church did. It's lacking in our churches today. Not only in this one, but in many churches around us. No prayer meetings. The handmaid of the Lord is forsaken and forgotten. Churches that pray indeed for this breath of the Spirit, let us pray for that at home. Let us pray for that together each time throughout the week till the Sunday comes. We need the four winds from the points of the compass. We need a north wind, conviction, cold and cutting, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit to rouse men from slumber. We need the east wind to stir men to new energy. We need the west wind to bring those showers and penetrate the soil. And we need the south wind to warm and to ripen the fruit on the field. Congregation, we need these winds from all directions and in all the different ways, don't we? There are unregenerate people in our churches for years already. Are you satisfied with that? Can we live with this? There are people closer to the end of life who do not know Christ personally. They do not know God. Can we live with that? Many are buried year after year in our denomination, and we can say nothing about them, except they were in church on Sunday. Can we be happy with that? We need this breath of the Holy Spirit upon our congregations. Isn't that time for prayer? Yes, it is time for prayer. That there may be good preaching in our land. And that the Spirit of God blows upon us. And that we feel the burden for new conversions. And souls made alive to sin and to salvation. Isn't that time to add something to our prayers? Fasting. This week was a national day of prayer. Our forefathers would be shocked to see us eating that day and drinking. A national day of prayer was always a day of fasting. Congregation, don't you think it's time for us to begin to add fasting to our prayers? Daniel, I read about him this morning. He afflicted himself. How? For 3 full weeks he mourned and ate no pleasant bread, no piece of meat, no drop of wine in his mouth. He ate the basics. No, not for a diet purpose, but to afflict his soul and to let God feel, Lord, this is so important to me that I am willing to let all those dainties untouched to let thee know that really, Lord, it is time for thee to work, for they've made void thy law. Don't you think it's time for us to start fasting? See, that sounds foreign to me. Exactly. It's so foreign to us, but it is not foreign to the Bible saints. Beautiful Anna, departed not from the temple with fasting and prayer. I do not meet a child of God today that I have ever heard that he or she is fasting regularly. And don't talk about dark days, for that's only talk in God's ears. If it really is a burden, and if we really are so concerned about the glory of God, and if we really feel this, all the dishonor done to the beautiful name of Christ, where are then our days of fasting? Come, congregation, is it not time for us? Though through the Spirit of the resurrected Lord Jesus there is hope. You notice in verse 11, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And look what they're saying. They're saying our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. Sometimes when we think about the landscape we live in, we think this is a lost case in the United States. It's the great beginnings that we saw, and the respect for the values and the biblical morality, it's gone. The sexual revolution about redefining our sexuality, what boy and girl is, and what marriage is, and what is homosexual and gay and bestial. Congregation, we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah today, and you think it's going to be possible that this could live again? And maybe you feel the same way. Oh Lord, our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. There is no expectation. No, don't say that. That is not right to say. Let's listen to the prophecy of Ezekiel. Thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. That fact of history that I just alluded to you, that after nearly 2,000 years of being out of their country, scattered as dead bones throughout the entire world, that we have seen the gathering of these bones and the formation of a nation on the very spot where God placed them first. We've seen that. That seemed impossible. That seemed never going to happen. That Zionist movement has been going there and never been anywhere. And maybe the only great reason that God allowed World War II and the terrible Holocaust of these 6 million plus Jews was to unite the entire world's nations. That Israel has to have their homeland again. God goes mysterious ways to his counsels to fulfill. But let us take courage this morning. I will do it. These are the encouraging words. God says, I will open graves. Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Come, congregation, that promise is not exhausted. Behold, O my people, I will open these grave-like conditions and I will cause you to come, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of it. There's still hope for our children, for our grandchildren, for our churches, for our nation, for each dead and very dry sinner long buried under sin. And what is the hope? I will. And you notice the word behold in front of it, with a comma behind it. Behold. Keep it in mind. Every time you read that word, behold with a comma. It's not a verb. Well, it is a verb. It's a call. Behold, O my people. That's God's, I may say reverently, this is highlighter in the Bible. The word behold. Something comes after it that is remarkable. I will reverse this death valley and make it alive again. Let not your thoughts and your expectations be shaped by your observations, but let our thoughts, expectations, and our prayers be based on the scriptural promises. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, with Thee all things are possible. That was the message of Easter. That's the message of the resurrection and the life. And that's the message of history. Not only of the nation Israel, but of every individual son or daughter of Adam. For we are this dry bone ever since. How we come in the world already, separated from Thee. And Lord, there is no hope in culture, no hope in programs, no hope in money, no hope in anything we men do, not even in preaching itself. We are reminded this morning, it is through the faithful preaching that Thou hast promised to do the mighty work. Lord, if I am not faithful on this pulpit, then change me. Then make me to be a prophet like Ezekiel. Open my mind to it. If I don't honor Thee in this place, as the called preacher, then close my mouth and open it again until I may be honoring Thee. But if Thy word is brought here faithfully, then we remind Thee of Thy promise. Behold, I will. We long to see graves opened here. We long to see dry bones alive. We yearn to hear of those who learn to know God, Jehovah, and are raised up to be a great army for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. We long to see revival, Lord, and we pray for that. We plead with Thee this morning. Send Thou us the preaching and the breath of the Holy Spirit. Pardon our great sins, O Holy Spirit. We have so often grieved Thee, dishonored Thee. We leave the preaching of Thy word without obedience. We discuss, but we don't weep. We hear, but don't repent. And Thou knowest how dead and dry we are. We beg Thee, make it different. Remember Thy promise. Behold, I will cause Thy graves to open. In Jesus' name we plead. Amen. Verses 1, 2, 3, Great Shepherd, who leadest Thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine Thou from above. Psalter 2:21, verse 1, 2, and 3. And since this is our first Sunday of the month, we have our singing and discussion this evening. receive the blessing of the Lord. Let us go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.